It's just good to be here this morning on Mother's Day. All right. Well, let's start this morning. We'll jump right on into Sunday school this morning, and we'll take a look this morning. Let's go first of all and see if we have anyone here this morning who's taking a stab at our Bible verse. Hopefully not taking a stab at it, but memorized it. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Anyone this morning have a like to memorize that and would like to quote it for us this morning? Sister Sherry?
1 John 1.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Good verse. Brother Jerry.
1 John 1:6. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen. That's good. Anyone else this morning? Sister Christina. That's right. Amen. Good. Sister Debbie.
Ditto.
All right. Amen. That's a good one. 1 John 1:6. Anybody else this morning like to quote it? If we say, the Lord got you for that one, I tell you what. You okay, sister? I don't want to. That'd be bad if she was really choking. I'm making a joke about it. Amen. That's a good verse. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? And do not the truth. Does that say anything to anyone? Anybody just kind of have a comment on that? They'd like to comment about that verse? Brother Jerry.
Well, it seems to me like it's just your actions.
Right.
If you say something and do something else, then you're lying,
Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Your actions prove what you really believe.
Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yep.
Anybody else? Verse speak to you in a special way? I'd like to share it with the group. All right, well, it's a good verse, and thank you for continuing on with the memorization, and the Lord will bless you for it, amen? It's not for necessarily the benefit of the teacher, but for the benefit of those of us who memorize them, amen? It's good. Sister Joan. That's the truth, he sure is, amen. That's a good take on it as well. Thank you, sister. All right. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter number 39. No, we're going to finish up 37. Then we're going to go to 39 because 38 is kind of a different thought. But in Genesis chapter, we will finish up 37 here this morning. And Genesis chapter number 37, well, we got down to about number... verse number 31 on down from there. We'll read those verses down to the end of the chapter, and then we'll pick it up here. Genesis 37:31 says, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it is thy son's coat or no.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and the captain of the guard." So we see here, as we talked a little bit last week about this, that there was twofold. It seemed that there was two things that their brother's new plot were for, right? One was they had to cover their sins. We talked about it last week. We talked about the fact that we've all learned, and we saw it in the book of Job from Adam, we've learned from Adam how to cover up our sins. Amen. It's just come natural to us. And We learned that, like we talked about that last week. And then we also said, not only was it designed to cover their sins, but also to, it seems designed also to be a revenge to their father for his strong affection, his favoring of Joseph. And they brought him his coat, and we talked about it last week, how his coat was stained with goat's blood. And we went into that and talked about Jesus Christ and how he's our scapegoat. We see a type there of Joseph and Jesus, with Jesus Christ being our scapegoat, and that goat's blood was applied to the coat. And we saw there in the book of Leviticus how that sacrifice was done, and how there was two goats, and they killed the one and sprinkled the blood there on the mercy seat. And then the other goat was taken by the hand of a fit man, the Bible said, into the wilderness and carried away those sins that were placed upon upon that goat, and carried those away into the wilderness. And we talked about that last week, and that's kind of where we had stopped off. So we see here that Joseph's coat, what we've called his badge of honor, so to speak, has become his the discovery of his fate now. And Jacob kind of rashly here infers from this coat that his son's dead, right? He just looks at it, makes an inference, and he looks at it and he thinks, no doubt, my son has been rent, and he even says it, has been rent in pieces. So you can imagine the agony, right? I mean, think as parents. I want you to think tonight, this morning, as parents. What would be going through your mind when this happened? Get that put over there. No matter whether he's asleep at night or he's awake during the day, he imagines Joseph being attacked by a wild beast, right? And he hears him shrieking, and he hears him trembling, and he hears him frightened. He gets chills thinking about that beast tearing him in pieces. He sees that bloody coat ripped up and torn. And so Jacob, no doubt, is day and night just filled with these images of his son being attacked, being torn in pieces, shrieking and screaming out for help from a wild beast. And so much to the fact of being torn from limb to limb, so much to the fact that there was nothing left, no remains, right? They didn't bring back, they just brought back a bloody, torn coat, which is telling the story. No doubt adding to his grief is that he was the one that sent him on that journey, right? Dangerous journey all alone, which proved to be fatal to him. So on top of the images Jacob is getting, he knows, I'm the one that sent him. I'm the one that sent him out there alone, and it cuts him to the heart. Wouldn't you think so? Amen. Cuts him to the heart. He looks at himself as an accessory to Joseph's death. So when we see this story, and we're looking at it here, and we're reading about Jacob and how he's mourning, how he won't be comforted, we kind of understand as parents, if we put ourselves in that place, what's going through his mind. This is the only story he knows. In verse 35, we see that his sons pretend to comfort him, right? It says all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But it's not real. Couldn't be real. Amen, right? Because if they really wanted to comfort him, all they would have had to do, as hard as it would have been to tell him the truth. Right? If they really wanted to comfort him, all they would have had to do. Job said in chapter 16, in verse 2, he told his friends, he said, miserable comforters are ye all. That's exactly what his sons and are to him. They're miserable. And not only miserable, even hypocritical comforters in this situation. And they had, they, like I said, had they desired to comfort him, they could have told him the truth. Look over in the book of Psalms with me, if you would, in chapter number 30, Psalm 30. Psalm number 30, verse number 11. And it was talking about how if they had really wanted to comfort their father. Look what Psalm 30:11 says. Psalm 30:11 says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." That's what could have taken place had his sons really wanted to comfort him, really wanted to tell him the truth. In his mourning, they could have turned it into dancing. He would have been upset. He would have been mad at him, but he would have at least been realizing that he's not really dead. It could have turned that mourning into dancing. The heart is hardened. Our hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Amen? That's what our hearts get hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. But the comforting was all in vain. The Bible says Jacob refused to be comforted. Great affection or strong affection sometimes prepares us or puts us in a position for great affliction. Does that make sense? Sometimes great affection, especially if the object of that affection is either taken away from us or embittered to us or something like that. That great affection that we have sometimes prepares us or puts us in a place for great affliction if we're not careful. And sometimes we get determined in our sorrow. We get determined no matter what the occasion, we're determined to stay in our, we get determined to be in our sorrow instead of to be comforted. We get determined that way, don't we? And to stay in that sorrow and not realizing that if we can just lean on the great comforter, what joy may come in our lives. Amen. What we're maybe missing by just saying, you know what, and we just keep on. And that's what Jacob was doing in here. And the Holy Spirit is our great comforter, and it's our wisdom. It's our wisdom as Christians. It's our duty as Christians if we receive that joy that God has prepared for us. Even in these times, even in times that are hard and bring great sorrow to us, sometimes we perplex ourselves to the point that we bring up imaginary troubles, don't we? Sometimes we do. We fancy things worse than they really are, and we afflict ourselves more than we really need to. And that's what we see Jacob doing here. His father wept for him. He said, "I will go into the grave unto my son mourning." But it's good if we can hope for the best. So we see here in this last part of this chapter here, and we're just looking at Joseph. We're looking at that, how that his family tried to comfort him, but he would not be comforted. And then we see in the last verse here of chapter 36, Genesis 36, we see now that, remember before, Joseph was sold, right? Now we see him sold again. And he's sold again unto Potiphar, unto who is an officer of Pharaoh's guard. And he's sold again to Potiphar. Had Jacob known the truth, he may have mourned for the loss. He might have been mourning for the loss of Joseph's liberty, right? But he would not have been mourning for the loss of Joseph's life. His freeborn son was going to exchange the best, or is exchanging the best robe in the family for the robe of a servant. The best robe for the marks of servitude down in Egypt. That's another type of Christ, right? So Jacob, who was the freeborn, the son who had the best robe in the family, is exchanging that now for the marks of servitude in Egypt. That's a type of what Jesus Christ did for us. Didn't he? Remember in Isaiah, chapter number 6, when Isaiah saw and he said, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. And when he spake, the post of the door shook at his time." I'm kind of paraphrasing that. Yeah, you see, when you see that vision that Isaiah had of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, the temple of heaven there, and his train filling the temple, and the angels and the seraphims and circling the throne and singing, "Holy, holy, holy," and Isaiah saw all of that in his glory. that Jesus Christ put all that off to take on a servitude, the form of a servant. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? How soon was the land of Egypt going to be the house of bondage under the seed of Jacob? You go back and you read it, you'll see it over and over called the house of bondage, the house of bondage, the house of bondage. The land of Egypt became the house of bondage. You read it. Read in Exodus when God brought them out. They were in bondage. They were in bondage. They were in bondage. Parents should take wisdom not to bring up their children too delicately. Amen. Because they know, because when they know not what hardships and know not what suffering they may encounter before they die. We know that. I mean, it's common sense. We say, amen, Brother Jimmy, but it's true. Amen. We have to be careful not to bring up our children too delicately because we don't know. We have no idea what troubles, what trials, what things are going to come, what suffering is going to come in their life before they die. Jacob had little thought that his beloved Joseph would be bought and sold as a servant. Never thought it. Never intended. Never became an idea. Never thought that entered into his mind as we finish up Genesis 37 there. And we see that it never was a thought that came into Jacob's mind. But as we move into chapter number 39, now we're not going to go into 38 because 38 is kind of like a parenthesis. It's just a... It's the lineage of Judah and his family. And God inserts it in there. But then in Genesis 39, we pick back up the story of Jacob. And we continue, Joseph. And we continue our character study in the life of Joseph and the things that we can learn from Joseph. We've learned many things already, but it really starts, now we really begin to start seeing the character of Joseph. This is kind of where we were getting to. This all before what we've been doing has kind of been kind of building up, setting the stage, helping us to understand the things that have happened in Joseph's life to bring him to this place in chapter number 39 as we look in here. And we really start to see here the character of Joseph taking shape. Now, so we see him as two things in this chapter. We see Joseph as two things. We see him as a servant, a slave in Potiphar's house, yet honored and favored. We see him also in this chapter, not only a servant, but we see him as a sufferer, falsely accused and imprisoned, and yet his imprisonment, his being put in prison, was made honorable and comfortable because the Bible tells us in the end of the chapter there that the Lord was with him, even in his imprisonment. So we'll look at these two things as we go through Joseph as a servant and Joseph as a sufferer here. We see here a type of Christ. Go with me, if you would, over to Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2, verse number 6, verse number 7. Many verses you've heard this quoted, preached, taught many times. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So we see here Joseph became a servant, and we see in as a type of Christ, Joseph became a servant. Jesus Christ, our Savior, took on himself the form of a servant. Yet, so not only did he take on himself as the form of a servant, but yet also Joseph did that which made it evident that God was with him. As we read through, I guess what we need to do would be real helpful is if I read some of these verses, wouldn't it? Amen. kind of set the stage here. I forgot to kind of, if we read these verses in chapter number 39, it might make a little bit more sense. Let's read a few verses here in Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So we see here that Joseph as a type of servant, yet it was evident in Joseph's life that God was with him. And that's the way it should be. Amen? That's the way it should be as us. We're servants of Christ. Amen? We're servants. We serve the Lord. And in our lives, it should be evident in our lives that the Lord is with us. But we see the type here, because not only was it evident, and so we see a type of Christ who, and we haven't got down to this part yet, but we will get down to this part. I'm just kind of doing this as a beginning of the chapter, but we'll see here later that Joseph is tempted, overcomes the temptation, and God takes care of him. Even in his imprisonment, God is still evident that he's with him. So we see here the type of Christ who took upon himself the form of a servant, and yet did that which made it evident that God was with him, who also was tempted by Satan, but overcame the temptation, who was falsely accused and bound, and yet had all things committed into his hand. That's Jesus Christ, amen? And that's exactly what we see here as a type when Joseph was the same way. Tempted, overcame it, falsely accused and in prison, but all things, even in the prison, we find out, were put into Joseph's hand, amen? So we'll look at this a little bit more in detail as we go through the chapter, all right? So let's see here in verse number 1. We see here what a good bargain Potiphar got when he bought Joseph. Amen? He got a deal. He got a good bargain. Now, no doubt, it was better, as the Bible says, than the merchandise of silver and of gold. Potiphar got some things in his life that could not be bought with silver and gold that he didn't bargain for. The Jews have a proverb, an old proverb the Jews have, that says, if the world did but know the worth of good men, they would hedge them about with pearls. That's a Jewish proverb. If the world did but know the worth of good men, they would hedge them about with pearls. Joseph was sold here to an officer of Pharaoh. Now, him being in the house of an officer, that would open up doors for him to be involved in, to be around public persons, to be around public business, to get into a place of where God had already to be fitted for that preferment that God had designed for him. So he was in a place, and he got into a place being in that officer of the house, that God was using all of that to get him to the place where later on God had purpose for him to be, and this was the preparation for it. What God intends for our life, he will be sure, one way or another, to qualify us for it. Does that make sense? What God intends for our life, He will be sure, one way or another, to qualify us for it. You've heard testimony, heard preaching, heard missionaries talk of the things that God did in their life to prepare them and to bring them to the point where God could use them on a foreign field. You heard testimony given in preachers' lives, how God had used things in their life to get them prepared, to qualify them, to get them ready to be able to preach and to be able to submit to the preaching to preach the gospel of the Lord. Amen? And so we see here that God's doing the same thing in Joseph's life. He's putting him in a place where he can be qualified and be prepared for what he has for him later as he stands as the second in command over the land of Egypt. Verses 2 and 3, we see here that Joseph is blessed, wonderfully blessed, even in his servitude. The first thing we see here is that God prospered Joseph. No doubt Joseph was probably put to the lowest. When he first came in, he probably had the lowest of the meanest, of the dirtiest, of the worst jobs, right? Because he was just a servant. He was just a slave that Potiphar had bought. So no doubt he'd been given all that. I see a kind of, and Joseph in his, as God prospered Joseph, we see here that a type of Christ. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Isaiah. In chapter number 52. Isaiah 52, let's read verse 13. Isaiah 52, verse number 13. Jehovah speaking here, it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." The servant prospered. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Chapter 53, verse number 10. 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." But look what it says here. "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." That's talk. That was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Amen. That he would be bruised. He would be put to grief, but God would exalt him later, right? God would, all things would be committed into the hand of our Savior. We know that in the later on. And so we see Joseph here as God's prospering him as a type of Christ. No doubt, like I said, he was put to the lowest of the jobs. He was, at first, he was given the dirtiest and the lowest jobs. But even in those jobs, his integrity and his hard work appeared and became, I believe, more and more evident. Obviously became more and more evident as he rose in his employment, as he rose as he was a servant. The more things he did, his honesty, his integrity, his hard work showed up and was more and more noticed. Potiphar didn't just one day say, "Hi, Joseph, you want to take over my house?" Right? No way he didn't do that. He saw it. He watched it. Those that have wisdom and grace, read this. "Those that have wisdom and grace have that which cannot be taken away from them." Amen? Whatever else they are robbed of. Let me read that again. "Those that have wisdom and grace have that which cannot be taken away from them, regardless. Whatever else they're robbed of, they cannot take our wisdom and our grace away from us." Amen? Amen. Joseph's brethren had stripped him of his coat of many colors, but they could not strip him of his virtue and of his prudence. Amen? This world, it may strip us of, you may get stripped of title, you may get overpassed for a job, you may get stripped of favor, there's a lot of things that may happen, but they cannot take away your grace that God's given you, can't take your wisdom away from you, that only comes from the Lord anyway, amen? And so we see that not only that, but we can be separated from all of our friends, but will not be deprived of the gracious presence of our God. When Joseph's there in Egypt, has none of his relations around him, right? Nobody around him. He still had God. The Bible still says that the Lord was with him. Even in the house, even in that house of the Egyptian, God was still with him. I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like in a land like that, none understanding, nobody's around, his family's not around, nobody's around, but yet he still had the Lord with him, still felt that. Then also, it is God's presence with us that makes all that we do prosper. So those that want to prosper must make God their friend. Amen? And those who do prosper must give God the glory. Amen? And give God the praise. Because it's only because of the Lord's presence with us that we have the presence of God, that the Lord is with us, that we even do prosper. The reason why. And so a man or a lady who want to prosper, what should they do? They need to make God their friend. Amen. And those who do prosper should give God the glory and should give God the praise. Amen. So we see here, first of all, in this chapter, that God prospered Joseph. Now we also see that Joseph's master preferred him. So God prospered him. And Joseph's master preferred him. Preferred him by degrees, and by degrees he made him steward over his household. We see there also another type of Christ. Potiphar was well pleased with him. And if we look over in the book of, let's look over into the book of John, chapter number 8. So Potiphar was well pleased with Joseph. He preferred him. John chapter number 8. Verse number 29, as Jesus is speaking. John 8:29, as Jesus is speaking, he says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him." And we know later, the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him," didn't he? So we see a type of Christ here. Potiphar was well pleased with Joseph. The Father was always pleased with the things that Jesus did. He told us that in his own words. So we see that Joseph's master preferred him. The surest way to rise and to thrive is through hard work, honesty, industry, if you want to call it that, to be industrious. And that's what we see here in Joseph. Look in the book of Proverbs, if you would, over in Proverbs 22. We're talking about the character of Joseph. And God had prepared him. God was bringing him to a place in his life of where he was prospering. He's being preferred now. Proverbs 22. Verse number 29. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." We see that come true in Joseph's life later, don't we? He does stand before a king. He stands next to the king. So we see here that industry and honesty are the surest way of rising and thriving in our life. See a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So we see that Joseph's master, as he's preferring him in his household slowly, degree by degree. Potiphar knew that what he did, not if Potiphar knew what he did when he put all things into hand of Joseph. He knew that it would prosper better under Joseph's hand than it would in his own hand. We see that because if we're looking at it, He gave him all things, and we'll look at it a little bit different, even to the fact that when he didn't even know what was in his house except for the bread that he ate. We can't really fathom that, but I don't live in that kind of a world, but yet that's what we see from the Word of God. And so he knew that it would prosper better under the hand of Joseph than it would under his own hand. Psalm, let's look at another verse of Scripture, Psalm 101, 101st Psalm. Verse number 6, Psalm 101, verse number 6 says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." Potiphar saw that. Potiphar knew that it was better for him to have Joseph over his own affairs than himself. It's the wisdom of those in authority. People in a position of authority, it's wisdom. It's in their wisdom to employ those people with whom it's evident that God's presence is with. That's not something that's thought about today. Amen? That's not something that's looked at in a job interview anymore. Amen? But it should be. Because how many of you in this room, how many of you in this room have supervised or been a boss or led a team, anything like that, right? Okay? So you know. And then, of course, we know that when you look at, maybe that's not something that you're, it's on the checklist in the job interview process, right? But if you're wise, if we're wise, it's in the back of our mind, because how many of you have seen, you look at it, and the person who has the, maybe doesn't have all the qualifications, but you can tell there's something about that person, or maybe the conversation even does get around to it. Sometimes it does, you know, to things of the Lord, and you know that there's something in that person's life. It's to our wisdom to consider those people. Because how many of you have chosen the qualified candidate, yet turned out that there was no integrity in them? There's a wisdom in that for those in authority, to employ those whom it's evident that the presence of God is with. If we are faithful in a few things, it's probable that we will be made ruler over many things. Right? Book of Matthew 25. We know that verse. Let's read it. Matthew 25. Joseph was faithful in those mean jobs, and those small jobs, and those dirty jobs, and those unnoticed jobs, those thankless jobs, those jobs that brought no honor and no glory and no great light to anything he did. But he was faithful in those, and Potiphar saw something in him, and by degrees he preferred him. Looking at Matthew 25, verse 21. You know the verse. Just wanted us to read it together. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. If we're faithful in a few things, it's probable that we will be made ruler over many things. Christ goes by this very rule when he deals with us as his servants, doesn't he? Puts you to the test. Gives you a little job to take care of for him and maybe wherever it be. You do that, God moves you to the next step, doesn't he? God gives you a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. The more we're faithful, the more he gives us. And then we know as Christians, what the Bible says, that one of these days we will rule with him. Amen? We will be rulers one day. I don't know how it's all going to work. I don't know that part yet. I got to finish up here. Man, this time goes by fast. But I don't know how it's all going to work, but I do know this. We will rule with him one day. Looking forward to that day. Amen. Amen. If we're faithful, all we got to do is be faithful in a few things. Let me finish up this one thought about him being preferred, and then we'll pick up the third thought of this portion of Scripture next week. So not only is it Potiphar knew that if he put everything in his hands, it would prosper there. He was faithful in a few things, and so he was made ruler over many things. But also, it is a pleasure to masters to have those employed under them that are trustworthy. As a boss, as managers, as even in our home, trust is something that you can't buy. Amen? It's just something that has to be earned. Joseph worked on those things. Potiphar was so satisfied with Joseph's conduct that the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that he knew not aught that he had save the bread which he did eat. Left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph was given the care and the trouble of Potiphar's estate, and all Potiphar had to do was enjoy it. Amen. Sister Debbie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. That's true. That's exactly right. It's just that's exactly what the Lord's looking for. And so it is a blessing to be able to see that as we do those things that the Lord gives us, and he gives more and more and more and allows us to do more and more things. Joseph had the care and the trouble of Potiphar's estate, and all Potiphar had to do was enjoy. The Bible tells us here Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, and we know that's a type of Christ. Amen? Because Jesus came into this world a servant, and he lived a goodly, if we want to call it, a perfect life, a goodly life if we use it here as a type. Joseph was a type of Christ. The Bible says he was a goodly person and well-favored. So we see here two things. Joseph, God prospered Joseph. Potiphar preferred Joseph. And then we're going to see, and we'll pick this up in this last thought here next week, that God favored Potiphar for Joseph's sake. And we'll see that as we look at that. Potiphar reaped the blessings of Joseph's favor with God. We'll look at that a little bit next week, and then we'll move on into the next part of this where the whole story starts to change and Joseph gets another big test. And we'll talk about that next week as well. All right, well, appreciate you bearing with us. The time just kind of goes by fast here as we go through these things. And we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Jerry, if you would, dismiss us in prayer, brother.